This is an iHeart podcast.
That whole Speaker of the House mess, we'll talk about that in the open. Has our government been infiltrated? We're going to talk about that. And maybe the funniest light in the mood I've ever seen in my life. All that's coming up on I'm Right. I don't know if you know this, but there are a lot more important things going on in the world than who the Speaker of the House is. No, I'm kidding. I know you know this, but apparently nobody in the political world knows this. Everyone acts like that's the only thing happening. There are more important things happening. And yes, I'll give you my thoughts on the speaker fight in a minute. But one of the most important things we do, at least on this show, is we honor the fallen. Not just the fallen in combat, the fallen in training. The fallen in training get ignored. They do. People just don't think about them, or they're ashamed of them or embarrassed. These people are heroes who died for this country, no different than the guy who charges a machine gun nest. Story no one got yesterday. Alaska. There was a single vehicle crash, 11th Airborne Division, single vehicle crash, training. Again, it was not combat, it was training. Two dead. Those two dead are just as heroic as anybody who dived on a grenade. They are. Those are wonderful people, and we honor their sacrifice today, and we pray for their families. All right? All right. Now let's address something. This whole speaker fight. You see, we don't have one anymore.
On this vote, the yeas are 216. The nays are 210. The resolution is adopted. Without objection, the motion to reconsider is laid on the table. The office of Speaker of the House of the United States House of Representatives is hereby declared vacant.
Okay. Now, let's get something out of the way first. This is not the end of the world. I'm so floored by how many dorks there are in politics, on TV and radio and people who write about it. I'm just blown away by this. People who clearly have never lived normal lives with real concerns, families, costs, things like that. You listen to the political world for the last 24 hours, and no matter where you fall on the spectrum, everybody's acting as if this is some life-changing thing. Oh, my gosh, it's the Speaker of the House. Who gives a crap? I care about 20% cost in groceries going up. I don't care about Kevin McCarthy. I don't care about Matt Gaetz. I don't care about any of them. I don't like the House of Representatives. I don't even like the GOP. I don't care. Now, maybe you're wondering what you should be thinking about all this. And here's why it gets confusing. And other people make it confusing. This is why it gets confusing. Because people try to simplify it. I know that doesn't make sense, but that is why it gets confusing. Whenever there's something that happens, Kevin McCarthy gets bounced, for instance, everyone will run to the TV and the radio. Maybe you're on your phone, on social media. What's everyone doing? You're trying to figure out whose side you're on, and you're trying to figure out who the good guys and bad guys are. No, that guy's a good guy, and that guy's bad, and that guy's always good, and that guy's always bad, and this guy's good, and he's doing it for good reasons, and this guy's bad, and he's doing it for bad reasons, and so it's black and white, and it's crystal clear, and this is right, and this is wrong. And the truth is, when it comes to life, war, politics, or anything else, life is complicated. This whole thing's complicated. There are some really, really, really great people who voted to bounce Kevin McCarthy from being speaker yesterday. There are a lot of really, really terrible people who voted to bounce Kevin McCarthy from being speaker yesterday. There are a lot of really, really wonderful people who voted to keep Kevin McCarthy as speaker yesterday. What you saw yesterday, Game of Thrones power politics, is really all it was. Matt Gaetz, do you have to love Matt Gaetz? No, you don't. Matt Gaetz is an obnoxious human being. Very clearly a narcissist. He's running for governor of Florida. That's a big reason why he did what he did. This is good publicity, sending out fundraising emails. That doesn't mean Matt Gaetz did something bad, though. Okay, narcissistic jerks can do good things that I like, too. So I can like what Matt Gaetz did and personally kind of find him off-putting. I dislike Kevin McCarthy. I'm happy he's gone. I really wanted to sit down here tonight and have this talk. More than anything else, the speaker stuff and whatnot. I wanted to have this talk. Change. Change is one of those things that we hate, and yet it is inevitable, and oftentimes it helps us. Change is almost always uncomfortable, though. That's why we hate it. If you want to change yourself, you're too fat. I'm not saying you're too fat. Maybe you are. Who knows? People struggle with weight. If you want to change that in a meaningful way, I'm not talking about going out and getting surgery. You want to change that in a meaningful way. You know what it looks like? It doesn't look pretty. You're not going to put it up on Instagram. Oh my gosh, look at my hair. It looks like a red face, sweat, smelly, miserable. That's what it looks like to go from being fat to in shape. Change hurts. Change is hard. And in life, whether it's a business, a city, a country, whatever the a team, a sports team, whatever the case may be, when a change agent, a human being who is a change agent, who does things differently, when he is introduced, it is human nature to be repulsed by him. But if you say you want change, then things have to change. People on the right love talking about how corrupt and evil the government, it's awful, it's terrible, I hate it, it's horrible, things have to change, yes, it's gotta change, when are things gonna change, things have to change, everything has to change, and then along comes change one day, and it doesn't come along in a form that we all love, and we say, oh my gosh, it's the end of the world, what is all this change? Well, if change agents looked, talked, and acted like everyone else, then they wouldn't be change agents now, would they? What I'm saying to you is this. Our system is so broken, it's difficult to even see the end of the tunnel. It's difficult to see a way where we can save our federal system. We are adding, everything else aside, border, everything else aside, we are adding $1 trillion to the debt now every 3 months. You see, what's happening is, and I'm trying to explain this in a way that's not going to freak people out, but the end of nations, the end of empires, it's something I study. I read it all the time. I love it. It always seems to happen slow, and then all at once. It's crazy how often that happens. An empire will be at its peak, and then 20 years later, everyone's still alive. Gone. Smoldering ruins. We are about to be a nation with a debt crisis that will forever alter your standard of living and my standard of living, and it's not 50 years away. You will live to see it. It's coming. Now, what should be happening right now is an emergency all-hands-on-deck meeting between Republicans, Democrats, Independents, and everybody. There should be an emergency session called now to discuss the few things the government's going to keep. Why? Because everything else must be slashed and burned in order to save the United States of America. Instead, these people never even bring it up. Or if they do, it'll be in some random passing, like the debt, some annoying thing you kind of have to just talk about briefly. There is an avalanche speeding toward us that will wipe us all out. And yet, we're talking about continuing resolutions. You say you want things to change, well, then it's got to get uncomfortable. I'm going to play you a video. It's very, very brief. It's only a couple seconds long. Patrick McHenry. He's the temporary speaker. He's not really speaker, speaker pro tem. He's speaker until they have a vote in a week to get a new speaker. He's a close friend of Kevin McCarthy, one of these establishment types. He was gaveling out the Congress yesterday. I want you to watch something, and I want you to watch how angry he is as he gavels this out. And then I'm going to ask you a question. Watch this.
Chair declares the House in recess, subject to the call of the chair.
Man, he's mad. Ugh, scary. So let me leave you with this. And I really want you to think about this. You follow politics. You're watching me here on I'm Right on the First TV. Name me one time. I'm not even asking for two or five or ten. I want you to name me one time in your entire life you saw Republican leadership, not some conservative firebrand, Republican leadership show that level of anger about any of the crimes they commit routinely on the floor of the House of Representatives. Did you see anybody in Republican leadership gaveling like that when the Inflation Reduction Act passed? Obamacare? Gigantic trillion-dollar bill after trillion-dollar bill? When's that last emergency meeting you remember where Republican leadership, they were so mad, they were gaveling like that about the $33 trillion in debt that's about to end the United States of America? Can you name me even one time? You've never seen it. In order to get that level of anger and emotion and righteous indignation from the Republican leadership, all you have to do is take away the speakership from one of theirs. Oh, then they get mad. So don't ask me to love Kevin McCarthy or Matt Gaetz or the House or how everything went down. Frankly, don't ask me to care. But what I do know is the status quo, all these people talking about governing, there's going to be nothing left to govern without massive changes very soon. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Congressman Chip Roy voted against bouncing Kevin McCarthy. He's my buddy. He's going to join us next. We'll ask him why he did it. Now, let me ask you something. Let me ask you a why. Why do we bank with garbage banks? Because we all do. Like, I'm not pointing fingers. I used to do it too. We put our money in this bank that has an ESG page and they hate our values and they're cutting off bank accounts for gun owners. And well, why do we do that? Well, because we never had options before. Right? We did. It's hard to find options. Now we do. Now there's Old Glory Bank. Don't worry where you are. All 50 states. Mobile app handles everything for you. They share and support your values. And guess where your money is safe from these bank intrusions? It's at Old Glory Bank. Go begin your account now. OldGloryBank.com. All right? We'll be back.
I would also argue that, you know, some of our brothers and sisters, particularly in the, MAGA camp, I think, particularly enjoy the circular firing squad. You want to come at me and call me a rhino? You can kiss my ass. Look, I've spent a lifetime fighting for limited government conservatism. I have laid it all on the line. I've not seen my family but for 2 days in the last 30 days. You go around talking your big game and you thumping your chest on Twitter. Yeah, come to my office and come have a debate, mother. You know why? Because I'm standing up for this country every single day. And Steve, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to go to a nunnery. Because there were people who were buried over in Normandy who deserve us to stand up for what they fought for. So that's what I'm going to do. And all of you out there who are out there saying what you're saying out on social media, you stick it. I'm going to go down to the floor and do my job, and I'm going to stand up for the people who fought for this country. And I'm going to do it the way I think is right for the people that I represent. That's what I think.
Chip's fired up. Well, let's ask him about it. Joining me now, great congressman from the state of Texas, my friend Chip Roy. Okay, Chip, what in the world got your hackles up so bad yesterday after all that dust up?
Yeah, Jesse, look, first of all, the reason we're in this situation is that we have Democrats who refuse to work with us on anything rational. They're watching our country burn and they don't care. They literally had one of our own Democrat colleagues get carjacked 9 blocks from this very Capitol. Don't seem to care about securing our community. Don't care about open borders. Don't care about fentanyl pouring into our communities. Don't care about $2 trillion of deficit spending and $33 trillion in debt. They don't care about a blank check to Ukraine continuing to foster a proxy war. These are all things that you would think we would have collaboration on, and we do not. So we are left dealing with a family as Republicans to figure out how to get this done. And what I was reacting to, and it was not my friends Matt Gaetz or Tim Burchett or Andy Biggs or Rosendale or Eli Crane or any of these guys that, you know, took the position they took because they were frustrated with where the place is operating in the status quo. I understand they've used the rules to go accomplish what they wanted to accomplish. No issue with that. The issue I have is when my phones are getting burned down by people being disrespectful to my staff, saying rude things and being, frankly, threatening and vulgar to my staff because somebody puts out some missive that says Chip Roy is pro-Ukraine because I said maybe we should attach HR2 border security to Ukraine and make them put their money where their mouth is. I took issue with that. I'm not going to go back down because a bunch of people start lobbying in calls who aren't my constituents. My constituents have a voice. I listen. But these pundits who go out there and take swipes at us
when we're trying to fight the fight to actually do something in this godforsaken town, I'm not going to apologize for that. And I'm not going to apologize for standing strong. I will apologize for using language I should not have used. But I'm not going to apologize for the fact that I got angry at the people attacking the people that I love and that are working for me, fighting hard to go achieve what we need to achieve for them.
All right, let's talk about what happened in whatever way you can, Chip, because there's a lot of things at play here. And even the eight who voted to bounce McCarthy all have different motivations and different reasons. I obviously hear many of the same things you hear. Setting all that aside, you didn't vote to bounce McCarthy. Now, you're not exactly some squishy middle-of-the-roader. Explain your reasoning.
Well, my reasoning is exactly where we sit right now. We're now forced with most likely adjourning tonight because people have left town, because now Republicans don't have agreement. Now we've got Democrats leaving town for Senator Feinstein tomorrow. There's a federal holiday Monday. I'm still in Washington. I'm not leaving town until there's either nobody here to meet with or until I can not accomplish something. I'll come back whenever we can. My view is we should stay here. We should select a speaker. I didn't think this was the right road to go down at this point. I want to stress at this point, because we have an obligation to do the work that they sent us here to do. We have appropriations bills. We just voted yesterday on the rule to go to do appropriations bills that now we're not doing. I think we need to get those passed. I think we need to set a line in the sand. I think we need to set an agenda against the Democrats. We were working on that. It was not where I wanted it to be yet, but I wanted to let the coach or the quarterback, you know, like take us through the fourth quarter and see if we could stick it to the Democrats before that 45 days was up. You know what? It happened. We are where we are now. Now we have a job. Go select a speaker. Don't get wrapped around the axle and all these like, oh, let's change the rules. Nobody in America cares about that. Pick a speaker, cut spending, secure the border, stand up and stop the proxy war in Ukraine without accountability and making sure we do the right thing there. That's our job and that's what we should do right now.
Okay, where do we stand right now on that? Obviously, I've seen all the news. Everyone else has seen it. Jim Jordan looks like he's throwing his hat in the ring. Steve Scalise looks like he's throwing his hat in the ring. Long-established leadership guys who are going to have plenty of friends behind them. Is there some, outsider conservative upstart who might challenge those guys? Or do we even want to challenge those guys? I kind of like Jim Jordan. I like him a lot, actually.
Look, Jim Jordan is a very good friend of mine. Got a lot in common, and we've worked together on a lot of issues, including getting HR 2 through the Judiciary Committee, probably the best thing we've done this year. Steve Scalise is a friend, Tom Emmer's a friend, Kevin Hearn's a friend. These are good, patriotic, God-fearing Americans that I'm happy to sit down and figure out, where we're going to go. But here's the one thing that matters. Whoever's going to be the speaker needs to put forward a plan that is crystal clear as to what we're going to do to win. I'm tired of not winning. And what I said at the Republican conference meeting yesterday morning was, we cannot go back out to the American people and run on having increased the debt ceiling $4 trillion and having done a continuing resolution of the Nancy Pelosi spending levels and have done nothing on the border and have not impeached Mayorkas or Biden and have not accomplished anything to pull back on the power of a weaponized DOJ and have not done what we need to do on the Department of Defense with respect to the woke, a destruction of our recruiting and the morale there. So we can't campaign on that, but more importantly, the American people can't continue to live in that universe. Inflation is killing them, open borders, crime, watching our military struggle. So we've got a job to do, and so I'm demanding of whoever's going to be the speaker, what are you going to do to accomplish those objectives? And that's what I think the question ought to be asked.
Chip, obviously people are starting to catch on to this whole debt thing. $33 trillion in debt, everyone knows we just surpassed that. What most people do not know is we've added $1 trillion in 3 months. In 3 months, we've added $1 trillion in debt. Interest rates going up. This is exponentially growing, Chip, and it will destroy us all. Are there any emergency meetings about that, or are we all just crying about Kevin McCarthy and his political career?
Well, I would say that right now the good news is that a whole lot of the conversation for the last 24 hours has been, besides some of the wailing and gnashing of teeth, has been about those substantive matters. Who's going to get the job done? We cannot continue down this path. Ultimately, at the end of the day, this speakership began to unravel on Memorial Day weekend with a $4 trillion
debt ceiling increase in which we did not substantially stop the leftist march. So that's central. Your point is correct, although I would very carefully remind you that it's more like 1.6 or 7 trillion that it has gone up since that time. And look, the reality is it's going to continue skyrocketing if we don't change it.
Man. Chip, go get them. Rooting for you.
Thanks, Jesse. God bless.
You too. All right. Look, we have so much more. We have a panel here. We just got all kinds of stuff to go over tonight. Before we go over all that, let's do this. Let's talk about something wonderful. Are you in the mood for something wonderful? I am. I like organizations that reach out and help dogs. Look, I'm not an animal rights activist. I just love dogs. I do. I love Delta Rescue because the system we have in place, an understandable system, admittedly, for dogs that are left on their own, people just drop their dogs off to the side of the road. It's horrible. Across this country, that these dogs, they're picked up, and if no one will adopt them, they just kill them. And that sucks, but it's the way it's got to be. There's no money, there's no space. But there is Delta Rescue, the largest no-kill care-for-life animal shelter in the world. That dog that some jerk leaves on the side of the road gets picked up, and instead of going to the pound to be put down, that dog will be cared for with other dogs for the rest of its life. Delta Rescue does this with your donations and only with your donations. If that's the kind of thing that appeals to you, go to deltarescue.org and give. Help them do what they do. Deltarescue.org. We'll be back.
Wanted us to bring it on, so I guess we did. I think we should move on and find somebody else. What's paralyzed the House of Representatives has been the failure of Speaker McCarthy. What paralyzed the House of Representatives was not taking up appropriations bills. We left for a six-week vacation while the appropriations process hung in the balance. And because I forced these people to take a few votes, you think I'm paralyzing the House of Representatives? I think the House of Representatives has been paralyzed for the last several decades as we've refused to pass a budget, as we've governed by continuing resolution and omnibus bill. So I think that this represents the ripping off of the Band-Aid, and that's what we need to do to get back on track.
Okay, joining me now, man, our senior editor, I'm sorry, of Red State, Brandon Morris, contributor Jeff Charles. Brandon, okay, I'll toss it to you first, then we'll go to Jeff on this one. The floor is yours. Look, I don't care. I don't like McCarthy. I don't like Gates. I don't care. I certainly don't like the House of Representatives. I really hate the GOP. I don't like anything they do. I thank them all for entertaining me for 24 hours. I just don't care about any of this.
Yeah, that's pretty much the best we could get out of them is entertainment at the moment. Look, I'll be honest with you. I think this was long in coming. This was inevitable. The fact that Kevin McCarthy got kicked out of his office should surprise nobody. He lost the vote 15 times to become speaker before he finally won it. So the fact that people were waiting in the wings to take him down when the opportunity was ripe, again, should surprise nobody. Kevin McCarthy was a Democrat light. The Republican voters didn't want him. People in his own party didn't want him. And for good reason. I mean, this is a guy who passes omnibus spending. He's all about Ukraine funding. This guy is Democrat light. I think that this is a good changing of the guard. This is something that was needed. This needed to, the GOP needed to show that it had teeth, not just the parts of the GOP, but the voters as well who are celebrating this. This all needs to be talked about and approved of because we need to send a message to the GOP establishment that the time for you guys to sit back and do whatever you want and wheel and deal with Democrats for your own benefit is over. Now is the time for us to come forward as a party, a party that has teeth, a party that is willing to get America's business done and be unapologetic about it.
Jeff?
Yeah, you know, I got to push back against Brandon a little bit. He called McCarthy a diet Democrat. No, he's a Republican. It's the same thing, and it has less syllables. Just call him a Republican. I mean, most of them in Congress. That's what they are. So to me, like, I'm in your boat, Jesse. I don't care all that much because this isn't really going to change much. It is some brilliant political theater, though. I will say that it is entertaining. That gif comes to mind of Russell Crowe and Gladiator saying, "Are you not entertained?" Yeah, this is very entertaining. It's not surprising. I mean, McCarthy has been unpopular with the more conservative wing of the party. But I doubt, even if they get somebody in there who is more conservative and more principled, it's not really going to change a whole heck of a lot.
Brandon, people say they love change or want change. We love saying this on the right. The government's broken. It's corrupt. We need things to change. Things have to change. Things have to change. And then the second something does change, we freak out and act as if we're going to lose every election. This is the end of the world. The sky is falling. I don't think that the right actually does want change. I think they want change. But whenever they're presented with it, they don't really care for it very much.
Oh, yeah. I mean, no, that's absolutely true. But I think that one thing that we need to remember, well, two things we need to remember. For one, this, like I said, this was inevitable, not because McCarthy was such a bad Speaker of the House, but because the GOP is a party of individualists. We're going to influence chaos in our own party because we are not like hive-minded like the Democrats are. We're not going to move in lockstep just because one of the leaders says that we should. We're not going to sit and think and do whatever we're told. We have our own thoughts, opinions, needs, and wants, and we're going to have those done in any way, shape, or form that we can. So, you know, a little, we are the party of controlled chaos. That is what we stand for. But the other thing that we need to remember is that we're Americans. We are capable of overcoming this. Yeah, this is chaos. It's scary. It's unfortunate. It's more than a little inconvenient. But at the end of the day, look, we're going to get through this. We're going to find our way through it. We're going to come out all the stronger for it.
Jeff, Matt Gaetz, because he's kind of a D-bag and obnoxious, people get blinded by the fact that even though he's obviously very, very ambitious, he is accomplishing some things and making the right people uncomfortable. I don't need to want to hang out with Matt Gaetz to appreciate when something has stung leadership, which I really despise.
You know, I question how much he's actually accomplished here. I mean, yes, this is unprecedented, but this was not a Republican-led initiative. This was Democrats. He got Democrats to take action against a Republican. Only 8 Republicans voted in support of this. So to me, I mean, he worked behind the scenes to make this happen. But again, if nothing really comes of it, which it won't, then it doesn't really say much about what he's accomplished here. I think one good thing that can come out of this is more and more people, especially on the right, wake up to the reality that our federal government is infested with corruption. It's set up to protect the powerful. It's never going to change, at least not anytime soon. Maybe this might actually start prompting people to focus on their local communities, the ones that actually matter to us.
Oh, local communities, wow. Imagine that. Local political activism, not just putting a Trump sign in your yard. All right, Brandon, everyone's convinced the speaker stuff matters. Okay, let's set all that stuff aside because it really doesn't. Everyone's going to forget about this in about 15 minutes. The country's $33 trillion in debt, and we're adding over a trillion every 3 months now. We're in the final years before there is a financial avalanche coming that's going to hurt everybody, and nobody in D.C. seems to care. Nobody. Even our hard-right firebrands never talk about this. There should be an emergency on-hands meeting, all-hands-on-deck meeting right now, saying, what are we going to slash and burn? And yet, that conversation's never even brought up.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely true. And I think that's one of the reasons that people were so fed up with the GOP in particular, because the Democrats have 100% led this and the GOP has gone along with it for a very long time. Many of the members doing that for their own gain, their own benefit, while a few Republican members stood by and screamed, no, stop, stop, stop. I think, though, that if you're going to see something change, some feathers are going to have to get ruffled and some inconvenient things are going to have to happen. I think this is one of those things. Speaker McCarthy was one of those people who went along with the Democrats. And I think that now that he's out, hopefully, you know, somebody will replace him that is worth a damn and willing to fight the Democrats tooth and nail to stop whatever their plans are. And that's what we really, really need is a GOP worth a damn.
Democrat Congressman Henry Cuellar, no big deal, I'm kind of bilingual. He was carjacked. Here was a little bit about it.
Can you tell us what happened and how you found out?
Yeah, I was just coming into my place. Three guys came out of nowhere, and they pointed guns at me. I do have a black belt, but I recognize when you got three guns. I looked at one with a gun, another with a gun, a third one behind me. So they said they wanted my car. I said, sure. You got to keep calm in those situations. And then they took off. This happened less than a mile away from the Capitol. And my place, you got our leader, Hakeem, there, Catherine Clark, that lives there, a whole bunch of members that live in that place. So.
Jeff, is any of this violence that's happening, because it's been all over the news recently, this guy on the left gets killed, this guy on the left gets killed, this guy gets carjacked, is any of it going to prompt change? Because I'm not interested in ignoring it. I'm not interested in celebrating human suffering. That's not really my thing. I am interested in changing things. Are any of these people, like that guy, going to reminisce on getting three guns stuck in his face and change his behavior and how he votes?
You know, I wish I could be optimistic. It should prompt change. And I'm like you, Jesse. I'm not going to celebrate somebody's death regardless of their political beliefs. But at the same time, we are seeing what's happening as a result of allowing crime to get out of control, to fail to focus on violent crime, crime that actually violates people's rights. That's what's leading to a lot of this stuff. And there is reform needed. But I mean, it was in D.C. I mean, you can barely even carry a firearm in D.C. You can't even protect yourself in a lot of these areas. So the people that run these cities, they don't really get it. And at the same time, I'm not even sure if they want to.
Yeah, that's the problem. They don't even want to. Brandon, Jeff, thank you guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Brad.
See you, boys. All right, we got more. We got a lot more. Do we have Iranian spies infiltrating our government? Let's have an uncomfortable talk about that. This is a story that, with everything else going on, we kind of just breezed on past it. I don't even think we brought it up on the show. Kind of a big deal. A little bit of a big deal. We'll talk about it in a second. Before we get to that, let's talk about the timeshare you think you're stuck in. You think you can never get out. You got the timeshare. Now you want out of the timeshare. And so what'd you do? You called them. Maybe you sent them an email. And they said, no, sorry. These are permanent. You're the permanent owner. You can't ever get out. You don't like that. You want out. You don't want to pay those annual fees, those special assessments. Why don't you just call Lone Star Transfer? Stop calling the timeshare company. Call Lone Star Transfer. 99%. That's how successful they are. 18,000 timeshare owners have been legally and permanently removed from having to pay those fees, removed from owning that timeshare because of Lone Star Transfer. They made one phone call. Now they're free. You want to do the same? 844-310-2646. That's the number. Give it a call. Get out of that timeshare. We'll be back.
Do you believe, as some U.S. senators have said and congresspeople have said, that an Iranian influence operation infiltrated the U.S. government?
I do not have any reason to believe an Iranian influence operation infiltrated the United States government.
Okay, so did it or didn't it? They're saying it didn't, so that leads me to believe it did. Let's ask Lee about it. Joining me now, Lee Smith, of course, great columnist with Tablet Magazine. Lee, you have an article out, quite a read in Tablet, about an infiltration operation into our own government. Lee, just act like I've never heard of this before. Most have not, sadly. Everyone knows who Jamal Bowman is. No one knows about this. What happened?
Yeah, what happened was is that in 2014, the Iranians, in particular the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, and remember how much American blood they have on their hands, especially in Iraq, but also in Lebanon and in Iran as well at the very beginning, 1978-1979, they set up what they call the Iran Experts Initiative. It consisted of several members, several second-generation Iranians spread throughout Europe and the United States who are part of think tanks here in the United States. And they tapped them to influence American officials and other European officials. And one of them, one of these Iran expert initiative operatives, was pushed into the State Department by Biden's Iran envoy, now suspended, Robert Malley, or actually he's rather officially on leave. The security clearances have been suspended in April of this year. He pushed one of them into the State Department, where he was the Iran envoy. And now this operative agent named Ariane Tabatabai is now at the Pentagon, where the office she works in, she's not just at the Pentagon. She is the chief of staff for the deputy secretary of state, deputy secretary of defense for special operations, meaning that she has top secret and compartmentalized clearances, giving her access to the most sensitive information that the American government holds, including special operations in real time. So it's an enormous scandal. And while I've seen some action by Republican senators, I believe the Senator Dan Sullivan, there should be quite a bit more. They should be demanding not only her testimony and Malley's testimony, and they should not only have stripped her security clearances, but they should be lining up serious indictments for this. I mean, this is quite clearly espionage. We know it because we have evidence of an email tranche between high-ranking Iranian officials, including this one IRGC official, the former foreign minister of Iran, Javad Zarif, as well as these, I believe there were six total, between six and 10 operatives, Iranian operatives, seated into different Western capitals, including Washington, D.C., our own.
Jeez. Pretend like I'm stupid, which you know me, that's not difficult. Yeah, explain to me why she would still be in her post. Look, even if you didn't fire her, I realize she hasn't been convicted or deported or anything like that. In the very least, that's an immediate suspension. Look, pay her, I don't care. Get her out of that role. What is the explanation for that?
Well, as I explain in my piece, I speak with a former CIA official who explains that, look, the optimistic reading is that once the FBI knew about this, they started watching her moves. They have her, as he says, they have her apartment all tacked up. But I think that's unlikely. I think the evidence points to a much less optimistic reading, which is simply that this is, remember, the Iran nuclear deal was Obama's prize foreign policy initiative. And the purpose of that was not to keep Iran from getting a bomb. Anyone who's read the agreement and who understands what the sunset clauses in that agreement understand what it is. It was meant to guarantee the Iranian nuclear weapons program and to give it an umbrella guaranteed by the United States of America. Obama wanted to pass Iran a nuclear bomb. Donald Trump withdrew from that deal in May 2018, and now Joe Biden and his administration are keen to restore that deal, to be able to pass Iran a bomb, to legalize their nuclear weapons program, and that's one of the reasons why they've given them $16 billion over the last month. So the reason that they believe it's okay to have an Iranian spy in the American government at these very high-level positions is because they believe the Iranians are now an American ally. That's how Obama wanted it. That's how they're acting. That's why this is important to Biden. All of the people who are working on Iran, who are now in the Department and the State Department, these were all Obama people. Robert Malley, the guy who's now, again, sidelined with his clearances suspended. This was Obama's top aide on Iran as well. All the same people are back, right? John Kerry, the Obama-Biden faction, they believe Iran is an ally, and that's why they've downgraded relations with traditional American Middle East allies like Saudi Arabia and Israel, and why they've upgraded relations with Iran. They're arming an ally. That's what's happening. It's that simple. And when you hear people in the press describe it, oh no, they're stopping Iran from getting a bomb, it's nonsense. I just want to say so that people understand how to know it's nonsense. There are clauses in that agreement, right, that are destined to expire over time. These clauses restrict certain Iranian activities. The fact that they're designed to expire over the time, they're called, therefore, sunset clauses, shows what it means. This agreement was never meant to stop Iran from getting a bomb. It was to put it under a protective U.S. umbrella so that the Islamic Republic of Iran, in spite of all the blood it has on its hands, in particular from Iraq most recently, so that they would have an industrial scale nuclear weapons program. That's why.
Golly. Lee, thank you, brother. Come back soon.
Thank you, Jesse.
Dang. Pretty eye-opening, isn't it? You know what was eye-opening for me? When I found out that dog food is dead. That there's no nutrition in it. I just didn't know. I've had dogs my entire life. We had Airedales when I was a kid, then we moved on to Labs. We had Yellow Labs and Black Labs. And now we have this Golden Doodle Fred. And we got them good food, as good as we can afford to get them good food. It didn't matter. There's no nutrition in dog food. You give your dog, I gave my dog empty calories. If you want your dog to have vitamins, minerals, omega oils, probiotics, digestive enzymes, if you want your dog to live longer, you have to give your dog Rough Greens, all natural nutritional supplement. You pour it on your dog's food. Your dog will live longer and healthier. Don't we all want that, right? Well, that's what Rough Greens brings us. You'll see physical differences in your dog. The coat, the breath, the energy, the joints, all of it. Don't you see differences in you when you get health? They give out free Jumpstart trial bags. Call them, 833-33-MY-DOG, or go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back. Have you ever seen bad lip reading? It's been around a long time. I actually used to work for a guy who personally knows the guy who started it. Well, it doesn't matter, but it's fascinating how this started. It's just a dude with the talent. It saw something and thought, man, that's a funny idea. What if we did some bad lip reading? And he started this bad lip reading thing, and now it's huge. And they put out some of the funniest freaking stuff I've ever seen in my life. You know all that Kevin McCarthy, Congress stuff, all that from yesterday? We have a bad lip reading thing from that. Before we get to that, let's do this. Let's clean up the air around us. I mean, the air in our home. The air where we work. Garage, living room, bedroom. Eden Pure Thunderstorm. It does more than fix, well, it did more than just fix my allergies. It made my entire family healthier because we have viruses and mold in our air. Eden Pure Thunderstorm kills them. Cleans your air. It's like a scrubbing system for your air at all time. There's not even a filter you have to replace. It's a little black box that goes right in the outlet in the wall. These things are miraculous. I don't even own allergy medication anymore. They sell 3 packs of these, $200 off, with free shipping. You have to use the promo code Jesse to get that, though. EdenPureDeals.com, code Jesse. Go get 3 of these. Start enjoying these little miracles. All right. Courtesy of bad lip reading, here is Light the Mood.
Loogie of dust. I'm confident. Yeah, that's obvious. Dead eyes?
The ship's haunted.
Like your face. Ripper Podunk.
I'm buying a cow.
Sounds about right. Crinkly love stick.
Oh, no.
You're fine. Danger glands.
I found a tack in my flip-flop and now I'm suing.
It tracks. Old man tycoon.
Remember, speak up.
Tonight I'm partying. I have 4 stork eggs and a pony. You'll love it.
Not joining you. Ox cord.
Are there any snacks?
I think there's some raisins. Prince of rare.
Enchanté.
I will off you. Cold person.
I'm freezing. Give me your blanket.
Queen of sneezing. The neck hurts. Go tell a friend. Domehead.
Everybody heard you.
Because they're supposed to. Shark in the forest. I love big arteries. Of course you do.
It's so stupid. I'll see you tomorrow.
This is an iHeart podcast.